welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. The debate around the fiscal treaty has been a carrot and stick argument. The treaty is the stick, the ESM, the carrot. The European Stability Mechanism comes into being in July this year and it will have a permanent fund aimed at nipping economic turmoil in the bud. But it's an experiment and Anne-Marie Green looks at how the ESM is designed to work.
We have to have access to funding beyond the current programme, and the only affordable funding out there is the ESM.
Can you confirm that it is the government's position that we will still commit 11 billion euro to the ESM fund, even if we vote no to this treaty?
Less than a fortnight out from the referendum, and the arguments are well rehearsed.
The only certain emergency funding that's available to this state after 2013 is the European Stability Mechanism, for which we will have to ratify the treaty.
For the ESM not to provide the money for Ireland, for those political leaders to make that decision, it would cause huge contagion within their own European countries.
Will I commit not to ratify the ESM? Certainly not. In my view, it would be akin to national treason.
It's all about the ESM, the European Stability Mechanism, also known as the firewall, the wall of money, the new fund big enough and bold enough to calm the jittery nerves of the markets. But what do we know about how it will operate? Who makes decisions? Where will the money come from?
The first sum that we need to know about is the 500 billion. That's the lending volume that will be available for any bailouts that come down the road in the future.
John Isle is the markets correspondent with the Sunday Business Post.
Initially, we're only going to be asked to put up about 80 billion. And that will come in terms of cash from every country that participates in this. That's the initial sum available. Then there is the capital stock of 700 billion. That is the amount that is ultimately pledged backing all of these this potential bailout fund. So there are the three numbers: 80 billion of actual cash ready to go, 500 billion of total lending volume in case it's needed, and an extra 200 billion bringing the capital stock to 700 billion, which will back the fund in the case of some unforeseeable contingency where the 500 billion will be exceeded.
From day one, all members of the Eurozone will therefore have to start handing over hard cash, not just a promise to pay. In Ireland's case, that'll be 1.27 billion in five instalments over the next 2 years. That's money Ireland will have to borrow.
Each country has a different cost of funding in the market. Ireland's is very high, for instance. For 10-year money, we'd be paying 7.5%. Germany's is very low. I think they're about 1.8%. So an appropriate margin for Germany is not the same as an appropriate margin for Ireland. The problem for a country like Ireland is our money isn't coming out of some cash reserve that we have. Our money is effectively coming from borrowings we have to make from our own bailout. So unless the appropriate margin is above our cost of funding, we're actually going to lose money on anything we put into the ESM that goes to another country.
One big change in the ESM is that all member states, even if they're in receipt of a loan, must continue to contribute. Professor Charlotte Gaitanides from the University of Flensburg in Germany says this is a big improvement.
It is based on the principle of solidarity. With the EFSM and the EFSF, these programs were put in place as an immediate reaction to the budgetary crisis of some member states. And the ESFS, I would say, only commits those member states which provide aid to pay, let's say, the solidarity surcharge. But it does not commit the states in crisis to contribute. So I would say that partly due to the lack of the prospective crisis strategy, the, let's say, rescuing member states have therefore been acting mainly in their own countries' interests.
The EU is planning a new treaty called the European Stability Mechanism, or ESM, a treaty of debt.
A YouTube video doing the rounds poses some questions about the powers of the ESM. Article 10, for example. This gives the Board of Governors the right to increase members' contributions.
The Board of Governors may decide to change the authorised capital and amend Article 8 accordingly. Question. Pardon me? 700 billion is just the beginning?
When you set up a legal treaty, you have to allow for every possibility.
Professor of Economics at Trinity College Philip Lane says this provision makes sense.
It's a real possibility that the ESM would lose money if a country defaults. And so to replenish the paid-in capital, there has to be an ability to call in new capital. And then I suppose you can come up with scenarios where the ESM is having trouble financing these loans. And then if it turns to the member countries, I mean, that kind of option can be available as well.
The ESM is a permanent bailout mechanism. It'll replace the temporary funds that had been constructed in haste to deal with Greece, Ireland and Portugal. It has new, more flexible ways to loan money. It can buy bonds in the primary market. It can also provide what's called a precautionary line of credit, an early guarantee to a troubled country that it will get a loan if it's needed. So how will decisions be made? Charlotta Gaitanides again.
The main issues will be taken by mutual agreement, meaning everybody has the right to veto the agreement. So the granting of financial assistance as such and the terms of the assistance by those countries participating in the vote. I would say all other decisions of the Board of Governors will be taken by qualified majority.
So in theory, every member state has a veto. However, Article 4 allows the European Commission and the ECB to instigate a qualified majority vote if they conclude that the lack of an urgent decision on financial assistance could threaten the euro area.
The ESM, its property, funding and assets shall enjoy immunity from every form of judicial process. Question: so the ESM programme can sue us, but we can't challenge it in court?
The ESM will be a separate legal entity, independent of other EU bodies. But as the Sunday Business Post's John Isle explains, it won't be immune from politicisation.
Well, this is where it gets tricky. If you look at the European Central Bank, which is supposed to run as an independent institution, it has a governor from each member of the euro, right? So we have our own Governor Patrick Honohan. He represents our central bank. They tend to speak with one voice, but it has to be said that voice tends to be the voice of the Bundesbank. So there's often a powerful institution or two behind these so-called independent institutions. Now, the setup of the ESM is very much along German preferences. So you can expect that the flavor of how it operates is going to be very German.
Of course, the one question that is unanswerable is, will it be enough?
It depends on the scale of the attack. So if you think about Spain and Italy simultaneously looking for money, then it doesn't look big enough. But in that scenario, Europe has to make a lot of big decisions about what else Europe can do in terms of straightforward transfers, ECB policy. There's a whole rake of other options. So the ESM, it's a big change relative to what we've had before, but still relatively limited in terms of what a financially integrated Europe might look like.
That's Philip Lane from Trinity College ending that report. Now, at the time coming up to 2 o'clock, the latest news. There are reports that Abdel Bassett al-Megrahi, the only person convicted for the 1988 Lockerbie bombing in which 270 people were killed, has died in Libya. He was convicted in 2001 by a Scottish court of the 1988 attack on Pan Am Flight 103, but was released on compassionate grounds in 2009 after doctors said he had only 3 months to live. The Garda Ombudsman Commission is investigating a shooting incident in which a Garda in his 30s was critically injured. The incident happened at around 4 o'clock this morning in Tralee, County Kerry. However, the Commission has said it doesn't believe there were suspicious circumstances related to the incident. The former Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou has described comments made by the Finance Minister Michael Noonan as flippant and simplistic. Earlier this week, Mr. Noonan said Ireland had few economic links with Greece and joked about feta cheese being one of the only products from Greece we see in Ireland. Speaking to this programme, Mr. Papandreou said such comments undermined European solidarity, and he said such stereotypes being uttered would do little to resolve Europe's difficulties. Reacting, the Finance Minister Michael Noonan told the programme that his remarks needed to be seen in the context of Ireland's ongoing support for Greece at a political level in the European Union.
On the production team this week were Anne-Marie Green, Lizzie Nolan and on sound Ruth Kennington. The Week in Politics is on RTE Television at 20 to 11 this evening. We're back at the same time next Sunday, but from Fran McNulty and from me, Colm O'Mungain, good afternoon and enjoy the rest of your weekend.